fellow fiends, welcome to another terrifying and delectable episode of Nightmare on Film Street, the horror podcast with zero credibility, but all of the blood, ghouls, and gore your puny heart can handle. Let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on 6th Street. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this week, we are talking about two really fun films. I apologize in advance for like how crappy this intro is going to be. John and I both caught a wicked cold, and good news, episode's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Sounds much better than this.
Oh, yeah.
Bad news, you're going to have to just put up with us for this intro. We promise it'll be quick and fast, and we'll get out of here soon.
Yeah, I'll edit out any sniffles. It's okay.
Thank you.
But we're not going to sound like our chipper selves.
I don't think I can hear through my microphone. Maybe that's just my ears. I can't hear anything properly. It's really weird. Like, I don't have the right feedback.
Maybe
do you hear me fine?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. Like I'm talking into a vacuum.
You could
or just like into a pillowcase. Like
you
it's
just turn
disappearing
the dial up
out of my mouth.
Okay, so. Sorry, did you say the movies?
I don't think I did. It's a fun episode.
Oh, it's a great episode. Today we are talking about Halloween H2O 20 years later from 1998. It's the stupidest, longest, dumbest title ever. And from 2002. Everyone's favorite, Halloween Resurrection.
Woo!
A high mark, I think, for the franchise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It peaked there. That was the... We were, like, right up at the top of the precipice. If you were playing that game with that yodeler in Price is Right...
Cliffhanger?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right at the top. You got the best climb. Wait, no, you want to... You don't... Wait, I don't remember the rules.
You don't want to fall off the
fall
cliff.
Over.
Yeah, right. You don't want to fall off the cliff.
Right.
But I think you get some sort of bonus for being right at the edge.
Right at the top.
Yeah. Did you guys watch that new documentary about that guy who tried to, like, beat the system on Price is Right?
It was kind of boring.
It was not as good as I thought it would be. It would be a great 30-minute podcast on, like...
Game in the System.
Yeah, I don't know. Something on NPR, right? This American Life, for sure.
So getting into Netflix.
Yeah, Kim, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Oh, well, John, now that you mention it.
Other than like DayQuil.
DayQuil, you know, cup of soup, tea, keeping me alive and conscious for the most part.
Sure.
I've been watching, like everybody, Game of Thrones just finished that. Don't really have a whole lot to say. I'm with the majority of the angry, angry internet. I didn't love this season. I also didn't love last season. Felt really rushed. I'm gonna tell you, I didn't go out and sign the petition, but I'm definitely among those who believe that it was just, you know, really unfortunate situation how fast they tried to wrap up a story that obviously still had a lot of story to tell. But you know, it's over, it's done, we got it. It's still one of the most cinematic television shows of all time. It's beautiful, it's gorgeous, the music is great, and the acting is phenomenal. But yeah, it's over.
It did give that season finale, series finale, did give us that first trailer for Westworld 3, though.
Yes, and that was a really interesting trailer. I had no idea that it had not aired before. We were watching and like, what is
this? Like, this looks awesome. Yeah. Okay, futuristic. I dig it.
Yeah, and we kind of fell off the Westworld bandwagon after the first season. So now we have to watch the second season to catch up because I'm all about this. Third season looks insane.
It looks great. I love it. I do think we could probably, I'm going to just venture a guess, not even watch that second season.
I'm going to watch that second season.
Okay, fine.
I want to watch Dolores Go Bonkers.
Doesn't
season
she...
2, Dolores Goes Bonkers. That's the season.
So I don't think this is a spoiler, because one, I haven't watched the episode. We went to sleep halfway through the first episode of
season 2. I didn't watch
season
2.
And also, it came out roughly a year ago, so can't get mad at me for spoiling anything. I'm almost positive at the end of that first episode, they wander off into this different territory where it's like, like samurai city.
Ooh.
And you realize that
I hope there's more Westworlds.
Well,
I hope
that's the idea.
Spooky haunted Westworld.
Like this Wild West world is not the first one.
I want to go to Spooky World.
That'd be so cool. But this new one definitely looks like it takes place in the real world.
In like the hub, the central hub for Westworld, like the technology center, right?
Okay. So it's like the Silicon Valley of Westworld,
yeah.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Aaron Paul's a little shithead. I mean, he's
an older shithead now.
He's working hard, but it's not enough. This economy's crushing him, so he's got to rob banks with guys that have cool t-shirts. You see that t-shirt? It's like a crossword puzzle of like different fun words that all light up and stuff. I want that shirt.
You're very observant. I saw Aaron Paul, Westworld, ready to watch.
It kind of looks like Fifth Element. I'll leave it at that. More importantly, big release from the last week, John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum, hit theaters. Blew everyone's goddamn minds.
Yeah, I'm really happy how much money it made.
How much did it make?
I think it was like $52 million for the weekend.
Opening weekend? Yeah.
But John Wick 2 made only like $26 million or something. So like, congratulations, Keanu.
And I bet the first one didn't even make nearly as much opening weekend. That was kind of like a slow burn, wasn't it? Like that came out and people were like, holy shit, this movie's incredible.
Hey.
Yeah, you see this thing over here?
I love that Keanu's back on top. Keanu's my favorite.
And he wants to do Constantine again?
I know.
I am very down for that.
Me as well. If you haven't caught John Wick 3 and you're kind of hemming and hawing on the franchise, definitely go see it in the theater. The stunt sequences are fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really gorgeous film. They have this really fun neo-noirish hot pink purpley color palette that they stick to. It's really fucking cool. It's just really fun 2 hours.
Also, if you're a big Western fan, you are gonna love this. Like, okay, sure, you've seen the promos.
Yeah, we get it. It's a Western.
Yeah. It's totally a Western.
I agree with you.
They just lift scenes from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and like in a loving way. It's so great.
Then don't say lift, John.
That's why I didn't say steal.
What?
They borrow.
No. Inspired by.
Okay, I'm all right.
Recreate.
With that. Yeah.
Reimagine. Re-envision. Reinterpret.
All of those things.
Lift. What else have we seen? Oh, we've been watching Barry. Not really horror, but if you're looking for something on HBO, you know you haven't canceled your subscription like everybody on the internet says they're going to. Barry is on HBO. Really fucking cool comedy about a hitman, and it's played by, what is his name? Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Who's also in It Chapter 2. So, I mean, if you need to catch up on your Bill Hader mannerisms and facial expressions, which are always so fucking on point, definitely check out Barry. Also, Chernobyl, the miniseries. We've been watching that.
Guys, I hate to point out the obvious. We've been sick for 48 hours, and we've watched
a lot of television.
1,800 hours of television. Like, the moment our throats got, like, a little sore, like, oh, that's it. Close the blinds, turn the TV on, we're here.
But yeah, Chernobyl, I think it's just a 6-episode miniseries. The third episode just aired this week. It is pretty great. Very dark, as expected, but really well acted. Very well put together. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh man, it's incredible. Two other things coming out. Just keep them on the calendar. Tomorrow, Brightburn comes to theaters. We're currently sick, so I'm not gonna bother going to the movie theater to see it.
Infecting a whole pile of people.
Like, there isn't a lot. There aren't. Okay, I wouldn't say there is no movie that I would go to the theater sick to see. If Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was coming out this weekend, I'd probably go.
Like, sorry, guys.
I would sit either right in the back or right in the front, wherever the least amount of people are, but I gotta see that movie. It looks like the reception on Cannes has been very, very good. But Brightburn looks great. Elizabeth Banks, super spooky kid. It's like Chronicle, but with a little bit more of a horror angle, I think.
Yeah, which is very exciting. We've all been kind of on the edge of our seats waiting for New Mutants for 13 years. And somebody beat them to the chase. So
yep.
We're going to get some superhero horrors starting this weekend.
But if you are sick and you can't make it to the movie theater, coming to Netflix this Friday is Richard Shepard's The Perfection. A really, really weird movie. I couldn't imagine this having a theatrical release. We saw it at a Fantastic Fest. And while I don't necessarily think it was, like, us personally, wasn't exactly our favorite movie from the festival, I will agree with everyone in saying that this movie is crazy unpredictable and just makes the strangest twists and turns throughout the movie.
Yeah, but you will not be able to peg down this movie, where it's going, where it's headed, which is a really great thing for nowadays, because it's not often movies take us by surprise. We're really used to our formulas in our genres, and this one refuses to be pinned down. So if you're looking for something fresh, definitely check out The Perfection.
Yeah, if you head over to nofspodcast.com, we have a really awesome interview with Richard Shepherd and our contributor Mary Beth, where they talk about his influences, and this is like his first genre film, and they really break down all the aspects of the movie. Obviously, you know, if you want to go in completely spoiler free, I'd say maybe avoid that until this weekend, but they do a really good job not giving you absolutely every detail. But other than that, before we get started, I just want to give a big shout out to our most recent Patreon supporters: Daniel, Klaus, Matt, Dakota, Jay, Neil, Wayne, Hallow, Jasmine, and of course Derek as well. Thank you so much for your support, and remember, I'm gonna need your permission slips before the end of the day, or you can't go on the big, nondescript camping trip.
And if you don't come, Michael Myers is coming to kill you.
Well, I was gonna say, sorry, I was pausing briefly there because I thought I was going to cough.
I just coughed. We wrecked the audio.
If you don't hand in your permission slips, you will be forced to stay and take part in a
sexy romp in the basement.
Sexy romp in the basement that will be recorded and broadcast live for everyone at home to watch.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Okay.
Merged the two.
Took a little while, but we're here. Yep, and you know, as all good content goes, one of you's gonna die.
But vote amongst yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, the viewers at home get to vote.
Ooh.
You know, that's how that Halloween Resurrection really should have gone. At some point, the creators should have, like,
They weren't that evil. Creative about the television series.
Well, Tyra Banks,
like, cameras and go.
Yeah, that was about it. But wouldn't it be great if halfway through, Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes decided, oh, you know, it'd be better, we vote them off the island.
That would be pretty good. I'm nodding. It's good.
And then, you know, like, they all huddle in one room. They just kick somebody out into the hallway when they hear Michael Myers come
that's
by.
That's great. But thank you guys so much for your support on Patreon. If you are not yet a supporter and you want to check out all the cool perks and rewards that they're going to get in exchange for their donations, you can head to patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. There are hours of bonus content, swag, merchandise, shoutouts like these, and other cool stuff. But before we let you go, last things last, I do want to give one last shout out to our contest. There is only a week or so left. We're giving away a ton of folk horror themed stuff as we're celebrating the end of folk horror month at nofspodcast.com. The contest is super easy. You get entries for social shares and all that kind of traditional giveaway stuff. But we're giving away t-shirts, DVDs, all kinds of swag. There's 6 prizes now. We just doubled the prizes. There were 3 originally. Now there's 6. So there's tons more ways to win. You can enter at nofspodcast.com/contest.
And while you enter into the contest, let's get into it. Let's talk about Halloween H2O.
It's 1998 in a remote California town at a secluded private school.
We could have a Halloween party, just the 4 of us. We could have a roaming orgy.
I love the way this man thinks.
No booze, no drugs, no kidding.
One teacher is living in fear.
I'm not who you think I am. I changed my name when I went into hiding.
That's terrible. Take off your gloves.
My brother killed my sister.
How'd he do that?
With a really big kitchen knife.
That's enough. I can't take it, Mom. He's dead. It's been 20 years. What's he waiting for, huh? Don't you think he would have shown up by now?
Halloween H2O, 20 years later, full title.
So great.
So great. Directed by Steve Miner, currently sitting at 52% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 2 out of 4 from Roger Ebert, and a 2.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of how I expected it to be. You know, this film, it's got an interesting reception, at least from like my polling on Twitter or my general consensus from like the people I've heard on the interwebs. there's a lot of people who think it's underrated.
Okay.
And that it's like a classic 90s slasher vibe. It's sure. in the spirit of Halloween. Laurie's back.
Kevin Williamson wrote the treatment for it.
Yeah, and it's very Scream through and through. He didn't write the screenplay. Didn't he write the treatment for it?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's still very reminiscent of Scream.
Yeah.
And referential to Scream. But then there's people, especially now that the new Halloween is out, and while the new Halloween was coming out, I should say Halloween 2018, otherwise we're going to get very confused.
Halloween H4O.
Halloween H4O. A lot of people were saying how, like, shitty this one was, and then there were those people that were like, no, it's super underrated. And now that H4O has come out, and we've had it for a few months, a year? How long have we had it?
A few months. Since October.
Okay.
I think it's been 6 months, exactly.
And in the internet age, several years, we've had it. I think people are warming back up to H2O. I think people are, we've come full circle. Like, everybody was kind of okay with H2O, and then H4O was announced, and everyone was super excited and thinking H4O was going to be super amazing. And then H4O divided a lot of people. For some, it was super amazing. For others, it was okay. And now I think we're starting to appreciate H2O. Like, yeah, writing non-canonical sequels is hard.
Honestly, I think it might even be more than just... It might not just be contained to Halloween. I think we are coming out of a huge love and resurgence of 80s films, and we are moving into people revisiting 90s slashers. I think that's what's happening.
Oh, totally. The 90s is about to have their day, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, the next 5 years are going to be great.
It's as soon as the Stranger Kids things, as soon as they want them to be teenagers, like, we're in the money. As soon as Stranger Things hits the 90s, like, pay dirt. We get Doug back. Yeah. We get Nickelodeon.
They're going to have
Rugrats.
Fluorescent coats and shit. Just like
slap
the
bracelets.
Weirdest nylon? I don't know.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
One of those kids is going to come back from the further. I don't know what words I'm trying to say. One of those kids is going to come back from the further with just like this. Wait, is it
upside
called the further?
Upside down, John.
He's going to come back from that upside down.
Furthers from Insidious.
Sorry. He's going to have like cool ass sunglasses. He's going to be like, yo, check out what I found while I was in there. Pogs. And it's going to be nuts.
Pogs.
Right?
There will be pogs.
They're going to fight a monster with a light bright. I guarantee it.
It's great.
How old are light brights anyway?
I think they're from like
the
70s. 30s. Okay. Yeah, like the invention of the light bulb, immediately light bright.
You know, it was probably a great little toy back in the 30s. All you needed was a black piece of paper, a flashlight, and a pin. You just dab little holes.
They didn't have pins back then. They were poor.
Okay, well, a sharp, pointy rock.
You're in the farm and you're trying to like up against like the horse's toenail.
Just trying to get a little sliver off. Oh, that's what you had to do because you're working on the farm. Anytime you pulled a sliver, you got a sliver. A wheat?
Wheat probably has a sharp on it somewhere.
Okay, you know what's crazy? When I think of the Depression, I don't think of farmers. I think of like people in, I guess, the inner city, just like waiting at the dock. Like, oh, we're going to get to work today. Like, the stock market crashed and here we are getting fish and pretending our arms aren't broken.
Grubby cobblestones.
Yeah. And,
like, somebody getting splashed with a puddle as a carriage drives by.
It's a carriage. Like there aren't automobiles.
There were probably both.
You know, that's a great question. In 1929, maybe. I mean, we're still watching movies on VHS tapes now. Surely there was somebody in the 20s.
Like, ironically, using a kid.
Oh, man.
Bill, when
imagine?
Are you going to get rid of the horse?
The hipsters of the 20s just got flapper girls hanging up from the carriage. He's like, why would I ever leave?
So let's talk about H2O, because we have not.
I could jumpstart it. I will say maybe second best score, third best score, theme, not score, theme. It's a very 90s score. Love that fucking theme. Hate that goddamn mask. Like, holy shit,
oh,
is this the worst
mask
of the franchise? Because it's the worst mask of the franchise.
I can't, so it's terrible, it's awful. But it's almost verging on so bad it's good.
Nah.
Yeah, when they try to do those ominous shots of Michael standing at the end of the hallway, and he's got big ears, and his hair needs a brushing. It's like standing out every direction.
It's like the mask went bald and got plugs.
Yes, it's like Nick Cage or Brendan Fraser.
I was going to say Brendan Fraser, because it hurts you.
Because it hurts you.
Well, maybe not because. I was going to say it because I knew it would get a reaction.
It does hurt
you.
Me.
Yeah. He fought a mummy. He doesn't deserve this.
So this Michael is, we learn from not quite Loomis's over dialogue at the beginning.
I love how it's just like, it's, what is it, some secretary or some nurse who used to work for Dr. Loomis?
She was in the second, she was in the second movie. Yeah, she was the nurse from the second film. So just so we're fully all on the same board. In terms of the family tree of Halloween movies, for H2O, it goes Halloween 1, Halloween 2 from 1981, and then...
Then blackness.
Nothing happened. No Halloween movies whatsoever occurred. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any Michaels dying. We didn't have any Laurie's dying.
No Paul. No immortal Paul Rudds.
There were no Paul Rudds at all.
He's a vampire. Have we talked about it on the podcast
before? I'm sure we have. Okay. I'm sure everybody's talked about it on their podcasts.
Yeah. He's definitely just like, there is a...
There's probably a podcast called Paul Rudd is a Vampire.
Yeah. Maybe. It might have gotten taken down. I bet they got two episodes and disappeared. There is an empty bathtub somewhere in like downtown LA filled with the blood of the youth that he just dips into every week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's got a painting in his attic.
Boy, I could have said that. Maybe that would have been better. That would have been
good. Okay, so, so Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween H2O,
yep.
Halloween Resurrection, hard and cut. Nothing else ever.
Oh, man.
So that's the timeline we are on. That is the timeline we're going to stew in.
Yeah.
The cold open I love.
The cold open.
Cold open.
You know what? I don't. And here's my biggest problem, and it's like the first note that I have in my notebook, and it's probably in the biggest, boldest letters. Title card. You know, okay, fade in. Langdon, Illinois. Like, fuck off. Fuck right off. Haddonfield or broke. That's what we do. It's Halloween. We don't go to Langdon, Illinois. Might be a nice place. Might be a real place.
Maybe it's real. Is what my thought is.
Oh, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to ground this in reality. Like,
well, because they're bringing Michael down to LA. Like, he's getting some sunshine and some palm trees. They are bringing him down the coast.
That's so true. Does any of this movie take place in Haddonfield?
No,
it doesn't. It's Langdon.
I guess not. I'm assuming it's Haddonfield. Yeah, so he's out for information, I guess, on where Laurie is. He kills the nurse in her home. He also kills a young, what is his name? Jonathan Taylor Thomas? No.
Nope, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I knew it was three names.
JGL, Kim.
And I probably said this before on the podcast, but the JGL death, the shoe in the face, was one of my first horror memories ever.
That's pretty cool.
It's one of the first, like, images. So when I saw this when it came out, my parents rented it. They said it was super important that I had to watch it. Or maybe I just sat there and was like, I'm going to watch this. And they were like, this is super important. We'll let her. And I remember that.
This was event television.
It was. This was important. This was like who shot Mr. Burns or JR for those
of
you who
are old.
And you
know what? Thinking about who you are now, it was important.
Was very important, right? Shaped my life.
Yeah.
So the only memories I took from that viewing was the new TV we had was very cool.
Okay.
Was
this also like on DVD? Like this is one of the first movies they rented
no,
or whatever
it was definitely
DVD?
Still VHS.
Okay.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's shoe in the face death scene. I remembered the visual of that. And then I also remembered the finale, like the ravine stuff.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. For a
nothing
long,
else.
For a long time, that, the ending itself was all I really remembered about this movie. I'm like, oh, there's some running around. She sees him through a porthole because it's in trailers.
That's pretty much how the movie goes, though.
Yeah, right? That's about it.
Because Michael's too busy driving most of this movie to do any murdering.
Car swapping.
So after he kills those random teens and the nurse, I am assuming he got information as to Laurie's whereabouts and change.
Well, yeah, because that kid's rooting around, or maybe she's rooting around. Either way, somebody pulls out the Laurie Strode file and it's empty. But he still hung around long enough to kill them.
Yeah.
My favorite part about
why
that.
Why wouldn't you, though? You're Michael Myers.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, he had to
keep up appearances.
Sure.
He broke out of. So I'm assuming he's broken out of the mental hospital he was staying at recently.
Okay.
Maybe that. So this is where I'm bringing it back, though. Because
here's my big
question
for you. We
were on a train of thought, though.
Okay.
No, I'm bringing it back because the mask is so ruffled and crumpled, particularly the hair. He had to have just got it out of storage, is the backstory I'm saying.
Yeah.
None of that was in the movie. We don't even get like a Michael walking across the prison yard or a steaming bus like we got in the H4O. We didn't get any of that. We just got Michael kills this nurse. Michael steals a car from a road stop. 1930s cool classic car because Michael, that doesn't even make sense. And then he's gone south with like no...
You know what would have been a more believable scene? At least just one moment, a beat of him going to the costume shop and rooting around. Like, you know when you go to the grocery store and like
always...
your favorite thing is like they've got a new version of it and you're like, oh shit, where's the old one? And you're like looking to see if there's some dead stock in the back and he's like moving masks around. He's like, all he can get is the new model and the new model looks
that's,
like shit.
That's such a good explanation though if you wanted to have a Scream-ish version of Halloween where Michael Myers exists in a world where Michael Myers exists. And he is breaking out of the mental hospital. He goes to a costume shop and he buys a cheap version of his own costume.
Can I tell you right now?
That is what H2O is.
How would that not have been a great scene if he literally walks in, sees himself, head turned to the side slightly, gets the mask.
Buys the cheapo mask.
Right? And you can shoot it from behind. Like, you don't have to see his face.
Oh, so good.
The first time you see his face is when he turns around. And with the right in camera, cut to people carving pumpkins in Langdon, Illinois.
And that would explain why the mask is always different in each movie, because it's just like he's buying different party store versions.
Buying.
Like, he didn't get the deluxe. In H2O, he definitely did not get the deluxe. He got the $28.99, like, you have to rip in your own socks and boot covers.
Yeah, it comes with a one-size-fits-all.
The knife comes
like,
separate.
Yeah. Oh, man. Michael drives a lot of vehicles in this movie.
He does so much driving. And then my theory, too, is so if he's been in and out of the hospital for the past 20 years, it's H2O, then, yeah, it's the same as the first film. He's just driving around in that car being all ominous. And you're like, wait a minute, how did he learn to drive? And then in this one, it's just like, how did he maintain learning how to drive? Because yeah. He drives cross country and like
multiple
rest
vehicles.
Stops. Yeah.
I got to assume that old truck he takes is a manual gear shift, right? Like there's no way it's automatic.
It has
that
to
muscle
be.
Car can't be automatic.
That's
maybe
so
he
true.
Only knows how to drive stick. Now that I'm thinking about it.
That's really why he robbed that wife and or that mother and her daughter at that rest stop.
Why are they driving a Jeepers Creepers vehicle?
Why didn't he kill them?
He didn't need to.
He, but, what? What?
Okay, good point. When has Michael Myers ever actually needed to kill anybody? Sure. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I did not like that fake out. I thought it was useless.
He was in there.
He was in there.
And he was like, eh.
And there's a moment where you can see the, like, dinosaurs in Terrence Malick's Tree of Life. He just... Why is that a reference that I pulled out?
I didn't get it.
Okay. There's a moment where he kind of like looks back like, I could kill him. And then decides not to and leaves. And then, yeah, we have that fake out with the girl screaming, but it was just a spider. It's in my hair. Why are people always scared of spiders getting in their hair? No matter where you see a spider, it could be on the floor.
Okay, so I'm not afraid of spiders, but you saying in hair, like you could say that with any bug and be like, in your hair. And no. Because how long has it been there?
Hey,
has it had children in there?
Maybe.
Has it set up shop?
Could have.
Has it spun webs? Are there webs connected to your hair?
Here's what I'm thinking.
It has how many legs? What if you don't get all of them?
How many eyes? That's the real scary
Whoa.
Part.
Yeah, what if it leaves one behind?
And if it's in your hair, how do you even get it out? If it can feel just like the reverberations
yeah,
from
and
its
also
web,
too,
your
I'm,
hair.
Oh. I'm of the non-squishing variety where we like to use like the cup and paper or, you know, like the carefully get them outside.
I got a little gun with a bunch of arms on it. It just grabs them for
don't
me.
Don't tell people about that gun.
It's great. It's like 4 feet long. You just like... Aah.
It's like a bug reacher.
Yeah. Here I am trying to be like, why are people scared of spiders? And I'm like, give me my gun. I need my arm.
But yeah, bugs in your hair. There's no way to get them out without like squishing.
I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for sidetracking this. But if I could just get a quick answer from you on this one.
Okay.
We all know about the spiders in the beehive urban legend.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't use the spray. They stay in there. They plant eggs. Boom. Spiders everywhere. It's instant John Waters movie. Did that fear of spiders being in our hair
the spiders
come
in
before
the,
that?
The spiders in the hair thing, though, John, I think is an exclusively Canadian Freaky Stories reference.
No.
Because, yeah.
It's
so,
in Hairspray.
Is it in Hairspray?
It's in the movie, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say... So, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is doing a variation of that, but she's got spiders in her fucking face.
Oh,
have you seen
true.
The poster? Have you seen the poster?
I've seen the poster, did not watch the trailer.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty gross looking.
We're just nodding.
We're very on board. I'm very excited. I am about to ruin our credibility. If you thought we had gone from zero, like, they should really change their intro. They kind of know a little bit about horror movies.
What?
How the fuck is this even tied into Halloween 2? Because what you're proposing to me is that at the end of Halloween 2...
The brother and sister reference.
That's it? Because I'm almost positive he fucking dies at the end of Halloween 2, right? Doesn't he get
electrocuted? Yeah, but he always fucking dies.
Not in this universe, Kim. We've only got two movies and then H2O.
What?
You're trying to tell me that in this universe of H2O and Resurrection.
Yeah, but Donald Pleasance-ish says in the beginning of his monologue that he was in prison. So we just assume that he...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the same nurse from part two. The woman in the beginning.
Yeah.
In Langdonfield, Illinois. Langdonville. What is it called?
Just No. I think it's just Langdon. Langdon,
no,
Illinois.
I don't think it's Langdon.
Isn't it?
I've already
My notebook's downstairs. I'm sorry.
So I guess we should get to Lori.
Sure. So she's somewhere in Northern California. She now goes by the name Carrie Tate. She's the headmistress of a boarding school, a co-ed boarding school. And she's really upset. I shouldn't say it like that. She's fucking... All of her friends were killed, and somebody tried to murder her, and it was very rough, and it's
still... Well, and also it's her biological brother, as per this.
Good point.
So this is... It's very similar grief exploration as H4O that you get in H2O, except you do have that, like, familial element that H4O doesn't have. Like, she has to live with the fact that this is her own blood that's done this.
What do you prefer? Ah, fuck it. Everybody's talking. We've been talking about it for years now.
We'll talk about it at the end, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But yeah, so I really like this Lori.
Do you?
Yes, partially because there's nothing glamorous about her.
No, she's a drug addict.
But she's like a mild alcoholic, they say, kind of. And she's a little bit like high strung, and she's got the same sort of like fear and PTSD that H4O Lori has.
Yeah.
But it's functioning, and she's... functioning.
See, but that's just like sloppy.
She has a boyfriend, but she has a son.
It's just kind of sloppy movie drug addicts where it's really convenient for their character that they're addicted to pills, but it's never a problem anywhere else in the movie.
I'll agree with you. I don't think it's not depicted in the best way, and it's not the most deep film, and I wouldn't put it on my list of films that explore grief because I don't think they touch on that yet.
Okay.
Or I don't think they get into it, but I love the idea that they're going for. They
sure.
very well
yeah,
could
yeah,
have.
Yeah.
She's your like above the title name of this movie. She is the franchise at this point. H2O is a big deal because it's 20 years after the original film, which was a huge revelation for the film industry, not even just horror. And she also kind of created the final girl trope and the like virginal hero. And to see her kind of this button collar working woman who doesn't really wear makeup and has a boyfriend but isn't married and is a single mom, has a son, and is working in a full-time position and also kind of imploding on the inside.
Mm.
That's really interesting. I do wish they had explored it to more depth. I think they tried to do that in H4O and it just felt kind of campy. So I don't know if Halloween is the right franchise to explore grief.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I think her alcoholism in H4O is definitely more believable and used better in that story. In this, we just have her screaming. She takes some pills in the morning. Asks for more Chardonnay. And then just like one maybe like snide comment from her son. That's about it. Which, given that, maybe it's just that she starts self-medicating closer to Halloween. Like, maybe this is just like, oh, this is just mom's
she's in
bad
like,
season.
She's in, like, high season.
Yeah, she's like all of us around Christmas, right? It's just like, this month is a write-off.
Us with shortbread cookies around Christmas.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah. Like, I don't eat shortbread cookies throughout most of the year, but leading up to Christmas, oh boy, and a lot on Christmas, and then afterward. As many
the shame
as...
cookies, like we gotta yeah. get rid of them so we can wash the Christmas pan and put it away with the tree.
It'd be a waste to just throw these out. Just one more. My mouth's so dry. Damn, I can go for a sugar cookie now. Shit. Oh, I love sugar cookies.
So I think it should be said also that this movie is actually, and I like H2O, but this movie is kind of fucking boring.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's in a camp of movies When I say camp, I just mean like it's a subgenre of movies that I really appreciate, but it goes nowhere for a long time.
This is a teenager slash Kill Kill movie, and the plot of this movie is that they take all of, they set us up in this isolated school where all these kids are on like a fucking cliff, and they're stuck there. And then they take them all and they put them on a school trip. So we only have four. And one of them is fucking Laurie Strode's son. So that's three people maximum who can die. But one of them is a girlfriend. So she's not dying.
That's true.
Two teenagers that can be killed in that entire second act sequence.
Plus a security guard.
But he's got heart, so we're not gonna kill him.
Can we talk about Ronnie for a minute?
Sure.
He is the greatest character in this whole movie. LL Cool J is just like eternally cool and always funny in all of his movies, but I feel like this has got to be like a touch that Kevin Williamson put in, to just have a character who's working on a story that then becomes the story of the movie. I just love that this guy's got a job.
That does seem very Scream.
Right? I just love that this guy's got a job where he's by himself, like, all day. He's just got to watch the gate. But he took that job because he's a writer and an aspiring writer. And even more than that.
Yeah, but it's also California, so that's like a really common story, right?
Exactly.
Like, everybody who works in every coffee shop, who works in every bar, is working on a screenplay.
Yeah, anybody that has a job where they're at a desk alone by themselves for a while is currently working on a screenplay. But like, even the guy that wrote Training Day worked at a toll booth. He wrote the fucking movie in the toll booth. I'm almost positive James Cameron wrote most of Terminator in a truck that he was driving. But I also, like, on top of that, I also love that he's working on, like, erotic fiction. And I like to think it's not because he's got a passion for it, but because he thinks it sells.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. And the fact that he goes for an erotic thriller at the end is even better. Like, this guy's got his eye on the prize. And not only is he writing it to be sold, I assume, he's calling his wife for immediate feedback. Like, hey, babe, you're the target audience for this. You tell me if it's hot or not. And he's like reading her full passages that he's proud of. She's like, I don't know if I'll call him melons. Ronnie's great. And there's zero reason why he should help out the kids in this movie. He owes Josh Hartnett nothing.
I mean, he does work for the school. And he's an adult. And he's wearing a security outfit. It's his job.
No, I'm not saying why he helps them when they're in trouble. I mean, when Josh Hartnett's like, hey man, can you let us just like slip out for a few minutes? Maybe like turn your back? And he's like, no! Like, there's no reason he should do that.
Yeah, but I just think it's such an odd choice. Like, I know they wanted to get down to a core cast of characters, and this would have been way more Friday the 13th, but if Michael had just followed those fucking teenagers to Yosemite or whatever, that would have been a more entertaining movie.
It would have been a Friday the 13th movie.
It would have.
Which I arguably would say the director of this movie would have done better.
It would have been way more entertaining, but instead, because we are keeping the Laurie is Michael's sister storyline, he's kind of got this one-track mind.
He's out for her.
He is out for Laurie.
But he's still going to systematically and secretly take out everybody around her.
Yeah, a terribly long time to do it. We don't see, how long into the film is it? Laurie doesn't see actual Michael,
it's
not
over an
figment
hour.
Of imagination Michael.
It's just over an hour, and there's 20 minutes left in the movie when she finally sees him, like, face to face.
That's in the porthole, right?
Yeah, in the porthole, yeah. Which is crazy. And like, they try and get away with it, like you said, by having these hallucinations where she thinks she's seeing Michael all over the place.
And there's a ton of fake out jump scares to keep this movie like energy high. Her boyfriend gives her at least three, like, oh, I'm sorry, I just stood behind you, like, uncomfortably close and made no noise to get here.
How long have they been going
out? Her mom jump scares her, a cat jump scares her, four different trick-or-treaters jump scare her.
I hate Janet Leigh's cameo in this movie.
Yeah, and the lines are like, I didn't write any of them down, but they're so like psycho-serviceable.
Yeah. Oh, just to let you know, the girl's shower drain in the locker room is clogged. We're going to have to get somebody in to look at that. She's driving the exact same car from Psycho, I think. I didn't look it up. But then there's also like, if I could just give you some maternal advice for a minute, like, fuck off. I mean, it's funny. I'm sure, in 1998, even, I wouldn't have noticed. In 1998, we were probably like, why are we cutting to this old lady talking?
Yeah, and you almost don't even know it's her until you're like, why does this old woman have such a major part? There's nothing, like, to her character. Like, oh, is Michael going to kill this old lady? Like, that's going to be extreme.
That'd be the craziest way for her to go out.
Oh, man.
There's one psych out where we think she's seeing Michael. I think he's like coming in out of the shadows, like down the courtyard at the school. And it looks great. It looks awesome.
There's a few outside. The nighttime shots look really great. They did some really great shadow stuff. Like, they really discovered that Laurie holding an axe looks fucking cool.
Oh my God. That's the best part of this whole movie.
Anytime Laurie has the axe, it's dope. And at some point she loses the axe because she's in a car accident. She finds another axe.
Well, yeah.
And I think like, she loses axes aplenty.
I think she loses it first because she buries it in his fucking shoulder. But yeah, when she's first looking for him, like she finally gets Josh Hartnett and his girlfriend out. They're off to safety. And she's just like, Michael! It looks great. Looks awesome. Just like the longest shadows you ever see late at night. Moon. So great. We've skipped everything. We've skipped all of the good deaths.
But so what happens, though, is all those kids go to whatever, and then four of them, because they don't have permission slips or whatever, are going to have like a secret Halloween party in the basement so that like the two couples can fuck.
There's 1,000 candles in that basement. So yeah, definitely,
it is a fire hazard.
If Michael Myers sat back and did nothing, they'd all die in a fire.
They would
every
all
single
die.
One of them. And she would run in thinking that Michael's in the building, and all he would Michael! Have to do is take that butcher knife and just put it in between the two handles in the door.
Why didn't you go to Yosemite, John?
He's the worst liar in the world.
Yeah, so she finally, last minute, gives him his permission slip so he can go with all of his
he's
students.
He's like, cool, great, let me like, just great! Go get my bag.
Doesn't even bring his bag. I have to say, though, Lori's timing is so good. So she's alone with her boyfriend in the house because she thinks her son is away at whatever, and they're like making out on the couch, and she chooses that moment to reveal to him that she's not actually Carrie Tate. She is Laurie Strode.
And at first he thinks she's doing some like weird role play, like my like, name's not Carrie, it's Laurie. He's like, okay, all right, here we go. She's like, my brother tried to kill me 20 years ago. He's like,
people.
Tell me about it, babe.
When he's like a therapist too, so he's like, oh
that's right.
Do you want to talk
that's
about it?
That's even weirder now that I think about it. Where she's like being a crazy patient, and he's like, I'm into this. She's like, you're into your patients? All right. But then yeah, she has some sort of eureka moment where I don't even remember like the
she
A
just
plus
notices
B
that,
equals
like, his,
John's dead thing.
Yeah, she just notices his bag like fall out of the closet, and she's like, nah!
Oh man, he's terrible. It took me so long to clue into the fact that they live on property.
Oh!
Okay, good. Here we go.
Like
this
a
is
prison
great.
Ward.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Like, I guess maybe he didn't have enough time to go back to the house to get to the bag, to go to bring it back. But all he had to do was, like, walk across the courtyard, get a bag. And
he could have just brought it to the basement.
He could have even just closed his closet door. He had it hanging out in the floor. It just, it was in the doorway. Oh. The worst liar in the world.
Doesn't he need clothes for his basement shenanigans?
That's so true. They're going to be gone for 4 days. He's not going to need clothes for those 4 days. That's
he
what he's thinking.
Socks.
That's
it's
what he's
cold
thinking.
Cement.
They'll just make new socks out of loaves of bread. They raid that kitchen.
They do raid that kitchen.
I remember seeing that once on the internet where somebody made loafers out of loaves of bread. Mm. And it just, I didn't even laugh. I was like, that is a perfectly horrible.
That's such a mean thing to say in this age. I didn't even laugh.
It's perfectly good bread and you've completely ruined it. No one's eating your foot bread. It doesn't matter. Not even you.
No, it's true. Nobody's eating their own foot bread.
No.
So the death of, I can't remember her name, one of the non-important teenagers.
Sarah.
Yeah, the old light bulb in the chest.
Yeah, she finds, yes, it's so good.
Pretty nifty. And again,
so
the
great.
Lighting, like the shadow lighting is like well done in this movie.
Well, yeah, like the, she finds Charlie, her
boyfriend.
Are they boyfriend?
They're definitely.
They're boyfriend for the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she finds him. He's all gashed open, which is pretty cool. There's lots of scenes in this where Michael Myers has to like pin somebody with a knife to the wall or lift them up with a knife. Like, we really
it's
'cause
it's sexy.
Oh boy. How does he even manage to? So he, correct me if I'm wrong, he has strangled this girl with the light bulb wire. But
to be
also
honest, I don't even
her
remember.
Like
and
a, it looks like
like
he
a jack-o'-lantern, right? Maybe?
That's a really good point.
Because it's Halloween, and this is the movie where
you're really onto something here.
Yeah.
So he, like, carved out an opening in her chest and put the light bulb in. Okay.
Because she's hanging by the light, right?
Yeah. I'm very maybe
it was
on board.
Just, it was really bloody, though. Like, it could have just so been on good. The outside. He could have just wrapped it around. Who knows?
Looked great. Loved it.
Loved it.
But then it's basically just Lori running around until Michael gets inside. And then there's this fucking great sequence that's like such a 90s music video. I literally wrote down, Lori walks into Jada Pinkett's nightmare in Demon Night when she's like dreaming about sexy Billy Zane. And there's all those like curtains.
I was wondering, you asked, you're like, hey, what's the name of that villain in Titanic? I'm like, the iceberg? You're like, nah, Billy Zane. That's right. That's right. Not even the character's name, just Billy Zane.
But, like, Michael drops down with like one arm because he's been doing nothing but push-ups in the 20 years we haven't seen him.
This guy's got some crazy upper arm strength. Because not so only does romantic. He lower... Romantic.
Yeah, like Total Eclipse of the Heart music video with those curtains blowing in. Turn around.
Oh, man. Did you want me to join in on that?
Maybe.
Because the
moment's gone.
There's the cadence of that next line is like too much. It's like,
every now and then I did a wedding.
No one knows. Everybody knows.
Right, turn around. But that's Michael doing his, what do you call it? I kept saying
one of his inner monologue was just 80s pop anthems.
I kept saying he was doing deadlift drops, but you said that they weren't deadlifts.
They're not deadlifts.
So he's doing like pull downs?
Doing pull downs. Yeah, he's doing like chin-ups in reverse.
With one arm.
One arm. What's more impressive is that...
Which chin-up is better? The one in Halloween H2O or the one in Halloween Resurrection?
Oh, I was really hoping you wouldn't mention it till we get to it. Oh, it's just, it's wild that he does it in both of them. You know what that tells me?
They're like,
me?
You know what we should keep? Not the movies 3 to 6, but we should keep the deadlift or the pull down.
Let's just call it a deadlift, whatever. You're hung up on it, it's fine.
I think a deadlift sounds better.
Well, yeah, it's a horror movie. Of course it sounds better.
Deadlift.
Oh, man, that is so good. What's wild to me is that he's keeping himself up with one arm because he's got a knife in the other. He could have just as easily...
He
both.
Should have put it in his mouth like a rose.
Like a pirate?
Like Sylvester the cat or the skunk? Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, God.
You're I'm sorry. I'm in this weird... I've elevated to... Especially H2O. H2O totally gives me this vibe where we're in this, like, Halloween fan fiction. It's like Lori / Michael fan fiction.
Well,
I know she's his brother, but, I mean, all shows are better with a little incest. You all watch Game of Thrones.
It's weird that it's interesting too that you talk about these as like music videos, because I'm almost positive there was a music video, right? Probably for that Creed song. There was a Creed song at the end of this, right?
Probably.
Okay, a Creed-esque song at the very least. What was with all of the horror movies at the end of the 90s and Creed? There were so many Creed or Creed-esque bands.
It was just the teen stuff, and the teen stuff in the 90s.
And the teens were crazy about Creed, right?
Teens were crazy about it. Because it was all in all their love mixtapes.
Oh, man. It's like beginning and end of every mixtape. Arms wide open on both A and B sides. Closes both of them out. You're like, Jesus, all right.
Fade out. Will you go to prom with me?
No, I don't answer yet. Finish the mixtape. I didn't want to bury the lead, you know? Like, what happens if you don't make it to side two? Of course you're going to make it to side two. This is a great mixtape.
Is there anything we haven't talked about?
A lot. We haven't talked about a lot. We haven't talked about a chase scene that takes place underneath and on top of tables. That was an interesting one. She, like, kicks a chair. She's like, oh, he'll think I went the other way if I kick this chair. He looks at the chair and then immediately walks the other direction because he can see her through the table.
One thing I have to say is Michael's got a really uncanny ability to, like, hone in on people. Mm-hmm. He just knows, like, what room people are in, what side of the building, like, where they're going next. When they've stolen ambulances he's in, and when they're looking, even though he's in a body bag that's zipped up.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, okay, so Lori pushes him, not out of a window this time, but down a ledge, onto a table, and ooh, he's done for.
Totally, even though there's no blood on that white sheet he's fallen on.
But when the coroner comes, she's not having any part of it. She takes the cop's gun out of his belt buckle. Belt buckle? Holster.
It was a isn't Utah.
Why Utah? She takes his gun out of his holster, grabs his keys, hijacks the coroner van, and for some reason, the cops stand around for 20 minutes going, I don't know, should we follow
they
her?
They don't even follow her. They don't even put the effort to have, like, flashing lights or signals behind her, you know, like, to raise the stakes, maybe?
They're like, she's got a gun, guys. She's that was our only one. The chief said we were supposed to share it. Budget cuts, right?
Ugh. But yeah, so then there's this entire, like, final sequence.
Where's she driving?
Off the ravine. She drives off the mountain.
She drives for a long time to go off the ravine.
She
there's
hits Michael with
ravine.
Her car. It's kind of sad because Michael's mask is really pathetic and then his, like, eye holes are sad. And he gets hit by a car and he does, because he's Michael Myers, he doesn't not make eye contact the entire time.
He starts acting weird, right? And I gotta assume they built in Halloween Resurrection when they were writing this movie.
So you want to know?
Okay, so this is true. I'm assuming they were supposed to come out back to back.
So Mustafa Akkad, the producer, had a clause in his contract or in the agreement or whatever that Michael cannot be killed off.
That's what I figured.
Cannot.
Yeah.
But Jamie Lee Curtis refused to do H2O unless Michael died. So they all came to an agreement that H2O, it would appear that Michael died, but they had already written the switch up with the coroner or whatever.
That's no surprise.
And filmed that like the day H2O were at filming in the same locations and everything.
Oh, so it wasn't part of the same production? Is that the
But end? It was all planned.
Yeah.
So it was all kind of in the same world.
That's no surprise. Because you can see, like, you assume she's like, Michael, and he's like, and he's like, the mask is all weird. He's trying to get it off. Doesn't pull it off.
No.
Doesn't pull it off once, and instead is just like, like, sad. It's hard to say. It's hard to, on a podcast, show
he's
you.
Like
what
he's like reaching out to her.
Yeah,
all
like
sad
puppy dog eyes. Yeah. Like they're about to reach and touch like the creation.
And she's almost sad, but then we remember she's holding that motherfucking axe.
She just whaps his fucking head off.
Whap.
Yeah.
Is it rewarding? Do you feel
no?
Do you feel happy like for
no.
Lori? Are you like yeah? Like I don't. So this Lori, I love her in concept, but I don't think she earns that the retribution at the end. I know this is like 20 years coming, but I was just not feeling it. I was just like. Yeah, I guess that's what had to happen.
Even in 1998, because like this is definitely the first Halloween that I saw. I was aware of Michael Myers and who he was and stuff, but I hadn't seen Halloween, and even watching this, I didn't feel like she earned it the way other characters earn their victory at the end of movies. And I couldn't really figure out why,
and
I guess it's
because
I never thought she was in danger.
And it also might be because Michael's not as menacing in this one. He doesn't have a lot of people to kill, so he's doing a lot of boring stalking.
Yeah. But even then, he's not really doing real stalking because he's not actually there.
Mm.
She just thinks she's seeing him and he's not around. Like, oh, we
sometimes he is, though.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, sure. He was a car.
He was the car.
it's such a bizarre movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but it's it's not good.
Okay, so lightning round.
Yeah.
H2O, H4O.
Oh, no.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. H4O.
Really?
I mean,
is it because you've seen H2O too many times in the last couple of years?
Maybe. Because
I still want to say H2O.
H4O looks great, though, is the thing.
H4O does look great.
It looks so good.
Hi.
I've got problems with the story in both of these movies.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that question, so you really blindsided me a little bit. Also, the score in H4O is better.
Yeah, the score is really good.
The score is really fucking good in it. It looks good. The kills are great.
I don't like
Michael
the
Myers is awesome.
The story's not amazing.
I don't like the characters in the story in H2O.
I mean, H4O, I will say, has more teenager kills and more of that traditional, like, stalking through Haddonfield vibe, but I don't know. I appreciate H2O was the first one to tackle grief, and I think we need to give it credit.
Sure.
Where credit is due.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so do you have a rating for H2O? Now that we know that you like H4O better.
Yeah, you know. I like them both. I think they're both fine.
Well, they're both of different universes, so technically you're allowed.
I will give H2O.
Did we talk about how insane the title for this movie is?
It's like a boardroom of people that couldn't come to an agreement on three proposed titles.
Yeah, and they were like, well, we need it for the search, and then we also need it for the merch.
I'm telling you right now, kids just want to call it H2O. We drop all of it. Just H2O. Think of the poster.
But it needs to say Halloween, because all the other ones have been Halloween.
Okay, fine. I mean, we put Halloween H2O. You're like, well, what does the 2-0 mean? People might be confused. Like, okay, fine. H2O 20 years later. Like, but I wanted Halloween on that. But fuck, fine. The movie comes out tomorrow. It's Halloween H2O 20 years later.
But when you like break up all the acronyms in that title, it's Halloween, Halloween H, Halloween, yeah. Halloween, Halloween 20 years later.
Yeah. Damn.
So what's your rating?
My rating's 2 out of 4.
I'm also going to give it a 2 out of 4.
I actually thought you'd go a little higher, to be perfectly honest.
I think I've just seen it too many times, because yeah. I swear we watched it on AMC at Halloween.
I guarantee we've watched it on AMC every Halloween.
3 or 4 times. Yep. I saw it a bunch this year.
Yep. And then it's a pretty easy one to put on TV. It's not very gory. Like, you got to cut out, like, yeah, that's maybe true. You just got to shorten, like, 2 scenes.
This is probably one of the easiest ones to put on TV.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is so, like, universally watchable by so many different demographics.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. And especially crowd will watch her
because the original one. Yep. The Activia crowd watches it on Channel 27.
And the Schwarzenegger crowd's been watching her since True Lies.
Is that the one where she does the workout?
Does she do a workout? She does a striptease in that one.
Oh, which is the one with the workout?
The workout.
Is that Fish Called Wanda? Oh. Where she is a fish?
I don't know if she works out in that one. Are you thinking about the one with John Travolta where she's like a Maybe. Dance instructor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the movie. I just know the gif.
My favorite part about those gifs, though, is like John Travolta. It's like he never realized that his pelvis could move. Like, what is this?
Yeah, oh, you're God. John Travolta. It's been moving since you were born.
Oh, boy. You ready to talk about a really wild one?
Yeah, this is going to be a fun ride.
These are two great movies, guys, and I'm telling you, we watched them both back to back. You gotta watch them both back to back. Coming up next, Halloween Resurrection.
Tomorrow night, you will enter the childhood home of our most brutal mass murderer. The home has been rigged up with several cameras, but for the most part, the audience will see only what you see.
6 friends.
Are you sure they're not just putting us in some house with hidden cameras in the shower?
This is gonna be fun.
Have been offered fame and fortune.
That's the American dream.
All they need to do...
All the windows will be boarded up and all the doors will be locked shut behind them.
No one will be allowed to leave until the show is over.
You stay the night.
Let the dangertainment begin!
Now...
You think this is the one that he used to, you know, do his thing?
The webcast is live.
One flash and you could light up 1,000 computer screens.
The stage is set.
Has anybody else seen this? That worked perfect.
Whoa! But the house...
Wait, what just happened?
...is his.
Michael's here!
This summer...
Somebody please help us.
Evil... comes home.
Trick or treat, mother.
So, Halloween Resurrection from 2002. Currently sitting at a 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, 4.1 out of 10 on IMDb, but 19%. On Metacritic, and 1.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Wow. Now, I have to admit that you and I are both Resurrection defenders.
Oh, yeah. I think this movie's great.
But I'm starting to realize that the more I watch these movies...
Yeah.
I've also been a defender of H2O.
Yeah.
They're not holding up. I'm having... So, I like Resurrection probably in a more ironic way than I liked... H2O, you enjoy it because it's not good and because of how meta-ish this one goes. But, oh boy, does it make some... or doesn't make some decisions. I'm not sure what they are. But, Yeah, it's every time I watch this, I have a harder time liking it, even ironically.
You know, I don't like a lot of things ironically. I just like them because they're fun. And maybe that's just me.
That's what I mean by ironically. But we like it because it's fun to watch with friends. It's fun to watch while you're drinking. It's fun to laugh at, I guess, instead of the intended be scared of it reaction.
I'm laughing with this movie is the thing. Like, I think this movie knows exactly what it is and what it's trying to do. And I'm on board with this movie. I gotta say, I'm gonna hold my rating until the end, as usual. But I gotta take a few people to task on their scores here. This seems really low. Really low, 11%, guys, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, their ratings. I thought you were talking about the musical score. I was like, yeah, you're right, it is bad.
I don't even remember a goddamn thing about the musical score in this movie.
I don't remember the theme, but the score, like the actual scoring of this movie was awful.
Oh, right, I do remember, especially in the motel.
It was like made in Windows 95.
It was insane. It sounded like it was coming from a machine that you cranked.
And we were just like, what is this? They have a Halloween theme. Why aren't they just using that?
It sounded like music from a sitcom about orangutans.
And now he's showing his butt to his potential mate.
We got to spend a good chunk of time talking about the cold open in this movie, though.
What is the cold open even? I have already forgot.
Cold open is, first off, two orderlies walking down the hall, going to feed a bunch of pills to Laurie Strode, explaining to the audience, recapping Halloween H2O.
To be honest, for a hot minute there, I forgot Laurie Strode was in this movie.
Everybody does.
Because it's two different movies.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm coming back, but I'm fucking dying.
How much did she get paid to do that?
She kisses Michael, so it's probably a good amount.
She probably gets paid, yeah.
Because this went full fanfic with that kiss there.
Yeah.
Maybe how many times have you seen a gif of that? Because it's all people wanted. Now kiss.
We call it the Mulder and Scully.
The Scolder.
Yeah. The Halloween jump the Scolder.
Jump the Scolder. Last season, Game of Thrones finally jumped the Scolder, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, I'm giving that one a 98 on the Scolder scale.
Like Scoville.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. It is getting Scolder in here.
Oh, man. Anyway, so the cold open, we've got two orderlies explaining Halloween H2O, but then letting us in on the stuff we didn't see.
They give so much exposition to minor players in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so random orderly, full exposition of the whole switcheroo.
Orderly, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the crazy guy who's obsessed with serial killers, just like downloading you Michael Myers stats. And then later on, when we get to Haddonfield University, which Sleepy Town has its own fucking university, that's likely. But it's some like random trespasser in the girl's room comes in to be like, you can't go to that house. That's where all those murders occurred 23 years ago today.
Yeah, right? How did you get, like, a college dorm room doomsayer? It doesn't make sense.
And I thought maybe he would end up being one of the people in the reality show.
Oh, he's a plant.
He never appears ever again.
I would have been down with that. Like, yeah, he's just some troll who's just, like, walking the halls.
He steps into their room.
Right?
Was the door open? I don't even remember.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter, though. Just random players just giving you full-out, like, exposition.
And then at some point, this is the greatest. Laurie sees Michael standing outside in the field staring up at her window. And you
assume... Classic Michael move.
Oh, it's classic, right?
Classic move.
He hasn't lost it.
Wouldn't it be great if he brought his own white sheet and he was just holding it up? Like, the boombox and Say Anything?
Oh, God, but it's just a white sheet.
A white sheet?
Oh, man.
Fuck, I wrote down some of the quotes. She hasn't said a word in years. It was like 3 years ago, all of this went down. Like, years.
Yeah, years. Years. So long.
Must be the guilt.
No. Oh, this was the best part. Where, like, just as they're coming into the room, she's, like, gossiped this woman's entire life to the new orderly. Like, don't let on that you know. But then comes in and just, like, continues the conversation. Yeah, must be the guilt. That's probably what's getting at her.
In front of
her. The guilt for killing a person. Yeah, and the orderly's like, hey, so why didn't he try and get help? Like, crushed larynx. We see Michael Myers just like strangling the guy until his larynx is crushed, but he never tries to take the mask off.
No,
it's like you know what we also needed was a scene where we're watching Michael Myers super glue that mask on, because it looks like he's trying to get it off at one point, but maybe he's just like mussing his hair up instead. My favorite is to let us know that Michael Myers got away. We show the paramedic
holding a knife the whole time.
Oh my god! Just this paramedic walking around the crime scene with a knife out, like doo doo doo.
But in a bunch of scenes, and why wasn't anybody like, hey, why is that guy standing all stiff and straight not helping us at this crime scene?
Why is Jim's briefcase suddenly a murder weapon? Like,
Jim's briefcase.
It looks like he's going home from work.
Yeah, because he's at the scene of the crime at the school, and then he's also at the scene of the crime at the ambulance.
You know, the weirdest thing here is that that means that he gave up his mask.
And he was walking around in plain sight.
Plain sight.
Which means Josh Hartnett and girlfriend saw his face. They know the true face of evil.
I don't see that that... There, the most.
We're talking about the wrong movie.
It's the most uncharacteristic thing that Michael Myers has ever done in this canon.
Sure, maybe not.
The half a second that his mask gets knocked off in
eats rats in this H-O-O. One. I would say that's pretty out of character.
Does he eat rats? He's seasoning those rats. Okay, so. So at a pivotal
that's
moment.
Canon.
Michael Myers.
Oh God!
Watches the Food Network. That's how we know
he pays for cable. Myers.
Oh man, this guy learned how to cook at some point, because you know his real arc in this franchise is going from eating dog food to seasoning rats.
So far, and also like digging a secret tunnel under his house. Let's be real. How did that even occur?
That doesn't make any sense. So still in the cold open.
Are we still?
I mean, kind of. So at some point, yeah, we cut to a security guard who's having a cigarette outside, where we meet another crazy patient who's wearing a mask, a clown mask, just like John Wayne Gacy. But if you're smart and you know you're watching a Halloween movie, he's wearing a clown mask just like Michael Myers.
Baby Michael.
Baby Michael. Just a little killer baby.
Can we get to Busta Rhymes?
Yeah, so I mean, we can once you skip a few in a minute, but yeah, Michael Myers has that great moment where he does his chin press down.
Oh yeah, he
off
does another deadlift.
Yeah, he does another deadlift. Manages to put a dead body inside a dryer.
And the security guard knows to check the dryer?
That doesn't make any damn sense. Whatever. Big deal. What's interesting to me, though, is that people must have been talking about that deadlift, right? Because clearly, the world was abuzz with how great that scene was. And I'm not going to lie, when I almost have memories watching it going like, ooh, scary, how'd he do that so strong?
Oh, Michael, so strong.
Yeah. I don't know why he's got to do it a second time. But yeah, so he gets Lori tricks him up onto the balcony, which is another
one,
word
two,
for
skip
roof.
A few. Lori Strode is dead now.
Yeah, Lori Strode's dead now. And then he just, this is the greatest moment of the entire movie. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit.
Talking about the Skolder scale.
No, I'm not talking about the Skolder scale, because yeah, she does like, goodbye, Michael, and kisses him. It's whatever.
I'll
no, I'm
see
talking
you
about.
In hell.
I'm talking about. When Michael Myers goes downstairs to that crazy kid's room, the crazy kid who recognizes him and starts like rhyming off his stats like it's the back of a baseball card.
I fucking
card.
Love that.
This is what I'm getting at, right?
I fucking love that.
He comes
that.
In, POV shot of the killer, seeing a kid with a clown mask on, gives him the knife like a gift.
Okay, but riddle me this.
Yeah.
He has been in, especially in this canon, he's been in and out of mental facilities his entire life.
Okay.
He probably has never looked in a mirror before. That is childhood him. This is like a vampire moment. This is the first time he's seen his reflection.
Huh.
That's some deep fucking shit.
Huh.
Also, it was just like trailer moment when Michael's walking through that like exit tunnel and that clown kid is just rhyming off Michael yeah. Myers' stats. Like, I fucking love that. That was the best scene in this movie, hands down. Maybe one of the best moments in this franchise. And it's crazy to say because this is fucking Resurrection.
Goddamn. Sorry, I'm speechless over here because I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, it's like, look at them. Fuck.
They don't have mirrors.
Yeah. This is wild.
There's lots of dysmorphia in those buildings.
All right, guys. So just go out. Do what we did. Don't do anything different. No big deal. We're not asking you a lot. We're just asking you to pay $4.99 to rent this movie.
Again.
Yeah. Just to watch the cold open for 8 seconds of film. Totally worth it. Kim's not wrong. This is actually one of the greatest things that's ever been done.
It's so good. And at first you're like, this is kind of cheesy. Why isn't he killing him? But then you're like, oh, but he's but a boy.
But he's but
looking
a boy.
Into the eyes of but another boy, asking him to use his knife.
Okay. The other end of Haddon
Scoville
Hill.
Scoville scale off the charts.
It's off the charts.
Scoville. No, Scolder.
Scolder. Yeah. The Scolder scale.
Scolder scale.
I don't really remember what brings us from where to where, but some girls get accepted with their friend to go do a reality show on Halloween night, and that's where they meet Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks.
Yeah, and they've rented out, like, the cheapest little, like, motel conference
room. They've rented out the whole motel, though.
This reality show, I have to say, has no employees. When we were watching this, I was like, what is the budget of this movie? Is it $10? Is it $10? This movie had a higher budget
than H2O?
Than H4O.
Wow.
$13 million.
Fucking Blumhouse.
Yeah. Resurrection, killing the budget it. Was $13 million. H4O, the budget was $10 million.
Just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
These guys are the best.
What? What?
I mean, hey, that Hollywood doesn't exist anymore, and it was like already on its way out.
Oh, wow.
But it's gone forever.
But this movie feels so small. They don't have.
It is small.
But the reality show, it doesn't feel real. They don't even have like cameramen.
They deliberately contain it to one location, basically.
Yeah, but it just doesn't even feel like a real company because really, there's one camera guy that dies, but then it's just Tyra Banks and just Busta Rhymes, and they're doing everything. And Busta Rhymes comes off in the beginning like a creepy ass porn director.
Oh, yeah. He never comes out and says it, but you would not be surprised to find out if he was just like, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get a bunch of kids together, Halloween night, load them up with cameras, and then they're going to take each other's clothes off.
Yeah,
we're going to make so much money. Everybody's going to think they're here for the horror, and they're going to be here. They're actually coming for the boobs.
The weird thing, though, is that this film totally could have riffed off House on Haunted Hill. They just needed to do like a fun Halloween murder mystery type of setup. And I feel like so many more people would have been on board, but I don't even know if this movie thought enough of what it was from this point on. Because, so this is coming out, what, 2002? So a couple years after Blair Witch Project. So it's pretty fresh on the found footage scene. Like, and all they really do is set up this camera thing so that they can have a lot of really grainy footage and Palm Pilot usage and people on the internet. But they don't actually use it as like a medium. Like there could have been some really fucking cool shit done here as a found footage style movie. Would you not love a found footage House on Haunted Hill? I sure would.
I'd like a found footage Halloween.
So would I.
Yeah. I want a found footage anything, I'm not gonna lie. As long as it's done well, I'm down.
But all these people locked in this house, and it's a notorious house for people of this age. That is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is so great.
I would have been very, very on board with this movie as a straight found footage movie.
If they had played it scary.
Yeah, I mean, like, they use it to cut to some cool shots. Like, there are some great shots, like found footage style shots of Michael Myers at the end of a hallway or attacking.
But then there's also some shots of him, like, looking in the fan, like, the camera.
Yeah, well.
What is this? I can't drive this.
And he immediately knows to turn the camera toward the cameraman when he's killing him. And it's like he knows that nobody's watching.
Oh, when he kills the cameraman with the tripod. The tripod was exceptionally sharp, which was
the
a little confusing.
The tripod had a bayonet attached to it.
But it looked pretty fucking cool.
I liked it a lot.
Because the camera was attached at the end and it was nice.
It was good.
It's like they gave the shark the camera. Can you imagine if the shark ate the camera in Jaws? That would have been great. I only say that because Busta Rhymes calls Michael Myers a shark like 4 times in this movie.
Yeah.
He is the shark. Like, we get it. Michael Myers is Jaws. We get it.
Yeah. There's also at a weird time where internet live streaming was a thing.
Was it a thing?
Yeah.
Because Survivor existed, so Survivor was a thing.
Survivor definitely existed.
They made a Survivor reference.
I'm trying to remember the name of the thing. I can't quite... I keep wanting to say Big Brother, but like it's obviously not Big Brother. Maybe it was. Maybe I'm not sure. Yeah, where like you could log in and watch like live cam footage of that. I mean, that was also happening in the 90s, but in the early 2000s, that was becoming more popular. And that was at a time where even that, because like maybe it's just because like our parents didn't understand it. It was immediately assumed that it would either devolve to or was just thinly veiled pornography. Like at no matter what, camera, internet, somebody's getting naked. No, like at any time it could happen.
Which is probably true.
It's true nowadays.
Except for Twitch. That's just people playing video games.
Yeah. Which is funny because Twitch came out of a live 24/7. Video stream of one guy. It was like Kevin.tv. Justin.tv. That's what it was.
Forever.
That was the idea, that he was supposed to wear the camera forever. Not forever. He was supposed to wear the camera nonstop, never turn it off. He could black out the camera if he was like going to the bathroom or the shower or whatever. But I think it was supposed to be for a year or more. He was supposed to... you were literally seeing his POV.
Wow.
But what they found out eventually was that views were dropping significantly and it was failing. And just as they were like giving up on the project and not caring anymore and just like sitting at home smoking weed, playing video games, they found out people really like to watch me play video games. So they just folded it, but they eventually turned it into Twitch, where you could watch people play video games on demand and live. And now it is what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. One of the biggest websites in the world spawned out of a failure.
It's probably true for a lot of things.
It's very true. You gotta learn from your failures so that way you can improve on them and make them better. Like, you gotta
fail for a reason. I feel like we learned a thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Good job, John.
I don't remember where we are in this movie. So the kids finally get to the house. We're finally there. Busta Rhymes shows up with his minivan full of four reporters. It's a huge event for the internet. And they go live Halloween night.
It happens so fast, though. They really stitched together the opening of this movie with the Busta thing. So there was no real setup for this live program. It was like, introduce the teenagers. Tomorrow is the live stream. We are all accepted. Yeah. We have one meeting and then we're there.
Like, and they're supposed to solve the mystery of Michael Myers or something. Yeah,
they could have at least filmed like a show intro or something. So we got to watch, like, you know, where all the characters do a pose and it says their real name underneath it. And it's like, the hot one.
Dangertainment cool presents.
22, going to school for psychology.
Yeah, that might have helped.
Yeah, but there wasn't even because
they really
intro
just like threw six cameras at a bunch of kids, kicked them inside, and locked the door. They didn't tell
there
them how to put
no
the cameras
intro.
On.
Intro. Yeah,
I don't know.
They
if
put
you
the
noticed.
Cameras on without any employees. Like, they just did it on the porch. Like, just like whatever.
How do they know exactly where to point the cameras? I don't know if you noticed. I couldn't. There are plenty of examples. Some of the Foley work in this movie is really bizarre. Like, sound effects not quite matching. Like, somebody opens like a single panel door. The door we have in the office.
Or is it like, creak.
You're like, that is just like a tiny little wooden door. It would not sound like that whatsoever. But when everybody's putting on their camera gear, it sounded like it was the Expendables and everybody was like loading up their gun belts and putting on their bullet shit and just like, we're going in.
Okay, and so where H2O really failed in having teenagers, this movie is ripe with them, but
I would say this movie is lousy with teenagers.
Has no idea what to fucking do with them, nor was anybody involved ever a teenager.
Man.
We have the bitchy music student, sorry, the jerky music student, the jerky psych student, the ambitious chef, who we'll get to, and then there's the main character who has no real characterizations other than she is a Palm Pilot and she drove a moped at the beginning.
And
for
she
no
screamed
reason.
So loud a glass shattered.
But
that
it never
actually
comes
happened
into play.
In no, that's true.
She doesn't save the day with her glass breaking abilities.
No, and it's okay, I love it. I love the idea that Busta Rhymes sees, his name's Freddie, by the way. I love the idea that Freddie, the TV producer, sees this girl and goes, that's our final girl. We gotta have
like
her.
Like a porn producer.
Okay, yeah, sure. Like a porn producer, but like that gets abandoned so quickly because as soon as she gets in the house, anytime she's in trouble, she's like, ah!
Why does she have a moped? does not come into play.
Why is she driving that moped on the quad?
It doesn't make sense.
Why is nobody upset?
And then her friend, like, who we were kind of calling, like, the stupid blonde slutty one, isn't any of those things.
Her name is Jen Kim. Thank you very much. Can we please refer to her as Jen?
I'm just trying to explain what their characterizations are, and she didn't even get one.
No, she didn't. She was just very dumb. She even has that stupid flashing scene where he's like, show me, you know, maybe, I can't even remember what he says to her, but it's basically just like,
that
show
was
me
cool.
Your tits.
So they were reenacting like the Judith scene because they're at her dresser and she's brushing her hair. And because Judith was topless, he's like, make you so famous, show a boob.
But she still like,
shows a boob.
She still, yeah, she shows her bra and she's like, that's all you get, whatever. It's like,
you're
you know,
so
he
funny.
he just won. Like, like
a bra is still more than nothing.
Yeah. Who's the first guy to go? That's the first guy to
go,
right?
There's another guy.
Who's
the
other
one
guy?
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Who is he even? We don't even know.
His name
There's
was
a scene where
Bill.
He's being creepy and she's like, why are you touching me? And he doesn't say anything. And for like 15 minutes, I was like, they didn't even pay him. He doesn't even get dialogue. He's just a creep without dialogue. That's so fucking weird. And then he does say something. So then it makes even less sense because you're like, why didn't he talk in that scene where he was being a creep and someone asked him a direct question? He was just like smiled.
They're like, hey, unfortunately, Busta Rhymes has too many lines of dialogue. We need to take one of yours.
I'm under the
he literally stole it off the page. We don't know how he did it.
I'm under the firm belief that Busta Rhymes didn't read the script.
Oh, not at all.
Or read
right.
it once and then like lost it. Lost it.
Yeah.
There are so many rambling monologues from him. I love them.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Also, Tyra Banks is in this movie, which we haven't mentioned. She's like monitoring the cameras very poorly because Michael Myers has probably appeared on all of them.
Oh, yeah. Anytime that she's not looking, well, I mean, which is pretty often, like that's where Michael Myers decides to show up and kill people.
Yeah, and it's all because she doesn't notice because she's too busy pretending she eats a calorie.
Yeah, like guaranteed she got a bonus for having any of that cappuccino.
They probably set up the electricity purely so she could have that espresso machine there. Like, she doesn't use the cameras. The cameras are not required. Monitors.
Very good. Industry lingo.
But yeah, so 1, 2, skip a few. Some of the teenagers are dead.
Yeah.
We have discovered a secret room in the basement. They also keep... So they're trying to set up this, like, weird tortured childhood that Michael had.
Yeah.
They have
they
the...
found, like a
high chair with, like,
with
a bunch of straps on it. And then a secret...
Which is really just a regular high chair, right?
With like, extra straps.
With extra straps.
And
those straps didn't have barbed wire on them. Like, whatever.
And then there's that secret basement chamber, which is, like, a prison for babies. So Michael's had it hard, very clearly. But is that set up by the show?
Yeah, they don't do a very good job of explaining what they've left in the house, but 1,000% everything in that house they put in there.
Are you sure? Because one, I don't think the show's that sophisticated and has any employees to do that.
Mm.
But two, there's a scene where somebody sets that up to be true and is like, yeah, don't you think all this stuff is like a little too perfect? Like, why did all this stuff get left here? And then nobody addresses it and we just move on with Michael Myers sneaking around killing people. Like, nobody...
Yeah, we even cut back to Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks at the monitor station and they're just like, champagne! Like, that would have been a moment where they're just like, ooh,
they're
I think
starting
they're catching
to guess.
On.
Yeah.
I told you the high chair was too much.
So
like,
I don't...
oh, but building a fake wall in the basement full of, like, plastic body parts isn't?
Yeah, did they set that up? Like,
oh,
all those
of course.
Body parts?
Yeah, because he picks it up and it says, like, made in Taiwan.
So it's fake?
Definitely fake.
Oh. But the bunker part is real, where Michael's been staying.
Yeah, I don't think they broke into the house and, like, dug out a bunker.
Yeah, because so they find, a, like, a full-out bunker where Michael's been sleeping and living and with, like, a bunch of dead rats.
Yeah.
Which he's been eating.
Plate. Yeah.
Which explains why the spices are so fresh.
Doesn't make any damn sense. Also, why would you even do that?
It smells
like,
fresh.
Oh, man.
My favorite, though, is so nothing else in this movie is called back to. They set up a lot of things that they don't call back to, like you would in a movie, but the spices. Because that's fully used as a weapon where he's like,
later on,
ha-cha! Ha-cha!
Like, he's just got, like, pocket seasoning, like, ha-cha-cha-cha. Quick question, though. Do you think the live stream was a success? Because we only... It's being broadcast on the internet. Worldwide. Anybody can watch it.
It looks like only 12 teenagers are watching the live stream.
Yeah, and also only 12 teenagers from one source, which means they have one viewer.
You're so right. Are they in Haddonfield, these teenagers? Because he's her, like, online friend, right? They're not real friends.
Oh, that's a really good question. Are they online friends?
Because why didn't any of them come to fucking save her?
Why didn't anybody call the cops?
Anybody watching? Surely somebody watched in Haddonfield and could call the fire department.
There could have been at least one scene where they call the cops and like, are you kidding me, kid? Oh, Halloween pranks. Thanks. Like, that's all I needed. I just
Bones
needed...
off the hook tonight with all these dumb jokes.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we needed. We just needed 8 seconds of that. They probably filmed it. They probably just didn't make it. They're like, who cares? Like, have you seen the rest of this footage? We don't need that fucking shit. We got fell.
Explanations. Who needs them?
Not this movie, I give you that. There's a moment where Busta Rhymes is dressed up as Michael Myers, and he is trying to, like, spook the kids. But they've already discovered that all of these fake body parts are in the basement. They're made of plastic. They're essentially Halloween props. And they hit him over the head with them. And he's like, turn off the cameras! Turn off the cameras! And then they go, oh, okay. Everybody turns off their cameras. Like, that, first of all, that's just strange. She has this big, dumb monologue, and he's basically like, just go with it, okay? I got a sweet little deal for all of us on the back end. I don't know why I turned him into, like, some Italian film producer from Staten Island, but that's how he is.
But then immediately after, the blonde girl's killed. So
exactly.
That whole
this
thing
is what
is
I
want to
get at. It's, yeah, it's for nothing, and also, they don't go, oh my god, Freddy just killed Jen. That's a better movie, where he's like, hey, guys, really sorry.
He's so this committed.
He's so committed, and also, just trust me, you're fine. They should at least be worried that this guy has them locked in the house and is going to kill them. Like, okay, obviously there is a guy who's got them locked in the house and is going to kill them, but it makes for I think it would make for a more interesting
yeah,
story.
Yeah, because when they run into Freddy and he's like, hey, I know an exit out back, they don't go with him.
Yeah.
Because they think he's the murderer.
Exactly. They see Michael Myers show up, kill Jen, they go, oh my god, Michael Myers is here. Like,
yeah,
what?
Literally what? In the same few minutes, they're still in the landing from where they just saw Freddy in the Michael Myers outfit.
It's wild.
And they set that up and they used it for 30 seconds.
And at some point you go, what the fuck is Tyra Banks up to? Because
they never cut back to
her. They never cut back to her until somebody like happens in on that room and like, oh, she's
there's lots
dead.
Of blood here.
What else even happens in this movie?
Well, the lot
I know what we're forgetting.
A lot of the final act is our final girl, who I don't even remember her name. What is her name?
Her name?
Sarah. She's so inconsequential. It's because she is a Palm Pilot. That's the only thing that saves her.
Yeah. So, she keeps getting texts from Miles that come in one letter at a time, like it's ICQ chat.
But this whole thing is presenting this universe in which I'm sure it's still fucking AOL dial-up internet.
Yeah.
There is no delay on that stream.
None. No delay.
If we try to
this
do this nowadays,
this is a dial-up internet connection.
with iPhones and iMessage, you would still be dead as the final girl. Because he'd be like, he's in the hallway, go now! And you would go, and he would be standing behind you. She was safest on the roof, let's be real. I would have just jumped from the roof.
She seemed like she was doing fine on the roof.
But then she goes back in through the attic. Like, it was just a lot of running around that house. It's because they killed so many people so quickly. And also, we didn't care about anybody, so they
None.
Had to.
Yeah, quick question.
I didn't like any of them. They were all weenies.
They were all jerks.
The only one I liked was the chef, but because he had the mind to throw the spices at him.
He talks about protein a lot. It's crazy. He's like, you know, Hitler...
But he contradicts him with his own self.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
You had too much protein. Hitler did not have enough.
Yeah, like, what is the Goldilocks zone of protein, bro?
He dies before he can tell you. All we know is that fennel is important to have on hand and fresh.
Oh, boy. Do Palm Pilots not make phone calls?
I don't know.
You're the wrong person to ask because your eyes bugged out of your head when you saw her using it. Like,
I was just overwhelmed because she was on like a moped and then she had a Palm Pilot. I was like, whoa, someone's got rich parents for 2002.
You know, I've never seen a Palm Pilot in real life.
I haven't either. They had flip phones at that period, right?
Oh, yeah, they definitely had flip phones.
Yeah. Tyra Banks is using a flip phone because she closes it with her chin.
Why do you remember that?
Because it was a Tyra Banks scene, and Tyra Banks is my hero.
Oh, okay.
She was in Life Size, where she plays a Barbie come to life. Lindsay Lohan's in it. It's a good movie. It's not a good movie. Please don't watch it on my recommendation.
Ooh,
it's like a made-for-TV
movie. Like, we're here just like, you guys have have to watch Halloween Resurrection. Also, life size.
The Tyra Banks classic. There's witchcraft in it and a Barbie that comes to life.
You know you're starting to sell it, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not good. It's very not good. But it's okay. is there anything else you want to talk about with this?
Buster Rhymes kung fu fight scene.
He narrates everything he says in this movie.
Ooh, better pause the kung fu, go to the door, see who that is. How's it going?
What is she doing at his hotel room? Like, it's such a weird setup. If this movie was a little bit seedier, which it kind of thinly veiled presents itself to be, that scene would be, like, a weird power dynamic. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He would be inviting her inside.
What do you think of that fight sequence, though? They're in fire.
It's actually kind of great that he actually knows kung fu.
Yeah, well, you watch enough of it, you obviously become a kung fu master.
I have no idea what words you just said.
I said when you watch enough kung fu, you obviously become a kung fu master.
Oh, clearly.
You know, now that I'm bringing it up, I don't really have much to say about that kung fu fight scene. Like, it's good. I like it. It's a lot of fun. It's in fire. It's perfectly jiffable.
It just makes the movie a little too silly. And, like, it's fun to watch, like I said, when you're partying and when you're trying to watch a silly Halloween movie, but I want a spooky found footage Halloween movie. And
it's never going to happen.
Resurrection is that movie.
Yep.
So we're never getting one.
They shoot Michael Myers pretty well in this movie. Like, there are some great shots of him just, like, in the dark. They know how to shoot his mask. Like, the lighting department was spot on. But, I mean, it also helps that the director, same director as Halloween 2. So he's done it before. He knows what's what. Finally gets a shot of shooting some gory shit again.
And then they, like, electrocute him and light him on fire, and then the whole thing burns down before police and paramedics can get there. The whole shed is obliterated.
But Michael ain't dead.
Or is he?
I don't know. He definitely wakes up in the coroner's office.
I like that they filmed that. That was just, like, a lot of because they didn't film that police shot that we were saying that the film needed.
That's so true.
Or any other callbacks, but we did hire some morgue employees. I have to say, in both of these films, the paramedics zip Michael Myers into body bags with the mask still on.
That's a good point.
On both fucking occasions. They're like, yep, this is definitely Michael Myers, not an impersonator. Yep. Wink, wink. Gonna just zip this up here.
I would argue in Halloween Resurrection, though, it's melted to his face.
Do you think Michael Myers carries identity on him?
That has the mask on it? Like, he found the one DMV in the country that
would be great.
To do it.
Like, if he had an ID that's just like, Michael Myers, 27, and it's just like him in the same mask.
It's a piece of cardboard that says, like, I am 21, so driving is yes.
But do you think he carries, like, identification? Do you think he has anything?
No, I don't think he carries identification.
He might have, like, his hospital bracelet. Do you think he'd have the forethought to throw that away?
Probably. He's got the forethought to get new clothing. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just put a jumper on over top of it all.
Do you think he's wearing clothes under the jumper? Or do you think he's just naked under there?
These are the real questions. Let's get in it. Okay, so.
Does Michael wear socks? Like, I know he probably did at the facility, but by choice, does he put socks on?
I don't have an answer for any of these questions. Here's the thing. I don't see Michael Myers as a sexual killer. So I'm going to say dude's wearing pants.
I don't know. He's on that Scolder scale.
He's on the Scolder scale. He's been working out nonstop. He clearly wants people to at least compliment him.
Oh, Michael, you're so solid under that. Are you not wearing any clothes under there?
No one practices doing one-arm chin-ups just by themselves
for
no reason.
Do you think he's just in his cell lifting pumpkins?
Oh, it's good.
Thank you.
I love thinking that, like, he's weak, right? Like, after every movie, he gets injured, and he's got to go back to pie pumpkins, and he's got to work his strength back.
Oh my god, he starts small. Start with gourds.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, he's got, like, that gigantic county fair winning pumpkin.
Like, oh, this one's too heavy. Got to carve it first.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy. Okay, so what's your rating of Halloween Resurrection? I almost said Jaws Resurrection.
I would give Halloween Resurrection a 2 out of 4. Same as Halloween H2O. For entirely different reasons, I guess. I do find this movie a lot of fun. But I'm laughing with it. That's what it is. I find it funny and I find it fun in a way that Halloween H20 isn't. But visually, I like the way Michael Myers looks in this one. I think the kills, yeah, they're all right.
The characters are awful, though.
I like the setup. It's got the found footage bump, probably, right? Like, I just like found footage.
The setup is great. Yeah, I'm also a 2 out of 4 for the exact same reasons.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's fun to laugh at. And it's just like such a silly premise. And it does kind of make fun of itself, but it's also really easy to make fun of.
Oh, very, very easy to make fun of.
I will say, though, is that you have to only watch this movie like once every 3 or 4 years. I have seen it too many times, I think, this year. And this watch was like the least enjoyable watch I've had of it in a while. Mm. And normally I'm like so totally for this movie. That's not saying too much, though, because I mean, I totally did laugh out loud at parts when we watched this last night. So I think I've just seen it too much. I think I just need to wash myself clean of Halloween movies for a little while. I think I'm tapped out. And then Halloween comes and I'm like, bye, Mom! Because I'm a hypocrite.
But that's just our opinion, our hypocritical opinion. Let us know what you thought of Halloween H20 and Halloween Resurrection on Twitter at nofspodcast.com and the Nightmare on Film Street subreddit at reddit.com/r/nightmareonfilmstreet. And of course, on Facebook in the Horror Movie Fiend Club group at groups, facebook.com/groups/horrorfiendsofnofs.
And if you liked this episode, you can join us on Patreon. We are going to record a little bonus game for this week's episode where I'm going to quiz John on some quotes from the movies. So you can get that at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. You're also going to get a ton of other cool stuff in exchange for supporting the show. Tons of hours of bonus content, swag, shout outs, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out. And if you're already supporting us, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back at you again 2 Thursdays from now with another full-length episode. But in the meantime, you can find us at nofspodcast.com, where we have tons of cool articles, editorials, news, and the like.
More defenses of indefensible movies. But that's it for us this week. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. Just long enough to tell the tale of the Nightmare on Film Street. Ow! Help us grow the horde. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe. Continue this week's conversation on Twitter by following at NOFS Podcast. And as always, more terror can be found lurking on our website, www.nightmareonfilmstreetpodcast.com. Until next week, stay creepy, fiends.